We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Tony Bruschi, thanks for joining us. We're up to segment number 5 in our continuing coverage of the trial of Alex Murdaugh, day number 20, here on the 22nd of February of 2023. Let's go to the courtroom.
Your Honor, I would offer, it's been marked as defendants 158 into evidence. So I'm going to go through this. No, don't zoom the screen. So we're looking at just a very short period of time, right? Can you describe the time period we're looking at?
Yes, this is on June 7th, from 8:49 p.m. until 9:07 p.m.
All right, so we're going to go through here and just see exactly what was happening with her phone on that time. So it's the next slide, please. And what's happening here?
At 8:49:26.
You can pull the mic closer, please.
Sorry. At 8:49:26, that's the last text message that was read by Maggie. It was indicated read on the device.
Next.
At 8:49:28, the back light goes off.
And what does that mean?
That means that...
The screen's
dark, yeah, yes. Sorry.
And next.
At 8:49:31, the phone locks and it remains locked until it's recovered by law enforcement the next day.
Next.
At 8:53:08, the backlight comes back on. The phone's illuminated.
And next.
And 8:53:12, orientation to portrait starts.
Next.
At 8:53:15, that's when the phone began logging the 59 steps.
Next.
And
it's on the screen. And
yep, sorry. And at 8:53:20, there's Siri usage. This was indicated in the Knowledge Seed database, and that can be done by squeezing the side button, holding on to it for a short period of time, and Siri activates at that point.
Okay, so this is a user interface, you know.
Yes. It actually shows up as Siri UI, so it's a Siri user interface.
Next.
At 8:53:24, the orientation to portrait completes.
Next.
At 8:53:28, the backlight goes off again, so the phone's dark.
Next.
At 8:53:32, the backlight comes back on the phone and illuminates.
Next.
At 8:53:44, the backlight goes off again.
Do you have any opinion about why it just popped on and off like that?
I mean, there were no indications in the Knowledge Seed database that notifications came in or anything of that nature. The only thing I could think would be that the phone were jostled or lifted or somehow the light came on.
And next.
At 8:54:32, the backlight comes on.
Next.
At 8:54:34, There's an entry in the Knowledge C database about the camera usage, camera starts. So in that, there are, in that database, and if you don't mind, I'll kind of expand on this. In that database, the Knowledge C database is comprised of tables and rows and columns. And in that database, on that specific item where the camera was, there is another column that is called the Z-structured metadata. And so if I follow the camera under the value string there, indicating that the camera was activated, if I follow that line all the way across to where that structured database is, structured metadata is in that table, I'll get a PK number, a primary key number. That number was 571. In the Knowledge C database, there's another table within the Knowledge C database called Z structured metadata. So if I go to that table, because I found that number under the Z structured metadata column, if I go to that specific table in the database and look for that primary key 571, and I scroll all the way out to the end, I'll see a description of what that 571 is. And in that case, it was com.apple.springboard.lockscreen.scroll, which would indicate that it was a camera function on the lock screen, and that when you press that button in the bottom right corner of the phone, it has a little, the little camera indication, it'll scroll over to a camera, or you can swipe over from the left, and then it indicates that there's a camera there.
So was this some sort of attempt by the phone on its own at Face ID?
It didn't indicate that it was a Face ID at all. It indicated that it was a camera.
And by indicated cameras, did it indicate that someone was a person using the phone activated the camera?
Yes.
Okay. Next.
At 8:54 and 35 seconds, the camera use ends.
Okay. And keeping in mind the time stamp, go to the next slide.
At 8:54 and 40 seconds, the orientation to landscape starts.
Okay. And so how long was that since the camera usage?
About 5 seconds since it ended.
Next slide.
And then at 8:54 and 44 seconds, the orientation to landscape ends.
And next?
At 8:55 and 4 seconds, the backlight turns off and the orientation to portrait starts.
Now, a lot's happening on this one. What's happening
yep,
here?
Yep, so right here, the phone was previously in landscape mode, and it settled in at that landscape mode at 8:44 seconds. The backlight went off at 8:55 and 4 seconds. At that same time, the orientation of portrait starts, and that's this is indicative of what I was talking about earlier. When you rotate the phone while it's in, the screen's not lit, and then the screen comes on and the orientation changes once the screen pops on. It'll flip over to wherever the camera or wherever the phone is turned to. At this time, the portrait ends at that time, and the orientation to the landscape starts at that time. So that's exactly what I was talking about. And then the phone stops logging those 59 steps at that time as well.
I'm going to kind of emphasize this. Could we go back 4 slides? All right. So when the camera use ends here, 8:54:35, going forward, one slide, we have an orientation change.
That's correct, to the landscape starts, yes. Orientation to the landscape ends at 44 seconds after.
And then the next slide. So now that the screen has gone off, how long has it been since the camera use?
Let me go back in my... So it's 8:55:04 since the camera use. The camera use ended at 8:54 and 35, and then the backlight goes off at 8:55 and 4 seconds. So, what is that, a minute?
Is that 29 seconds?
I mean, hang on, sorry. Yeah, it's 29. I apologize. My math was terrible, wasn't it? Yes.
And then going forward, so what we had in that 29 seconds was an orientation change, and then the screen goes off.
Right, that's correct. Where are we going with it now? I just split the slide on me.
All right, so let's go back to the slide that's timestamped 8:55:32. Is this where we left
off? That's where we left off, yes. So here, the backlight's on, the orientation of portrait ends, and then the orientation to landscape starts immediately when the light, the backlight comes back up on the phone. And then the phone stops logging those 59 steps at that time as well.
And the next slide,
Four seconds later, the backlight's back off again.
Okay. Now we'll go kind of quickly here. The next slide comes on.
9:03, the backlight's on. At 9:04:23, we have a missed call from Alex that starts. At 9:04:23, the backlight goes off.
But now let's go back to the previous slide.
One more.
The backlight went off at the exact same time that a call came in from Alex Murdoch.
That's correct, yes.
And now the next slide.
And then we have a missed call from Alex that ends.
That's the call we just saw, right, ending.
Yes.
Do you have an opinion on why the screen light would go off pretty much right when a call comes in?
The only thing that I could figure is when the phone came in, or excuse me, the call came in, that the person hit the side button to turn it off and then put it down or flip the phone over.
Do you know of anything on the phone that would cause the screen to go off right when a call comes in and stay off during the call that does not involve human interaction with the phone?
No, I don't.
I go to the next slide.
9:05:44, the backlight comes back on. And at 9:06:12, orientation change to portrait begins.
Okay. And the next one, and we'll stop on that.
At 9:06:14, there's an incoming call from Alex that starts at that time.
And then the next one.
And then the incoming call from Alex ends at 9:06:18.
And the next slide.
And then we have an orientation change to portrait ends at 9:06:20.
And stopping here, that call we just saw coming in from Alec, that was sandwiched within this orientation change.
That's correct, yes. It was in between them.
And next slide.
9:06:52, we have another incoming call from Alex that starts.
And the next one.
And then it ends, the incoming call from Alex ends at 9:06:59.
Now the last slide.
At 9:07, the backlight goes off and it remains off until 9:31:44.
Okay. And do you know from your review of the GM GPS data where the Alec Murdaugh Suburban was at 9:07?
Yes, at 9:07. He was traveling from the house, or from his home to the house, and I forget the name of the city.
Precisely at 9:07, where was he at that moment?
The 9:07 would be the driveway, I believe.
Right, the driveway.
Yes.
And Maggie's phone, the screen did not come on again until 9:31?
That's correct.
And just one more time, how much motion does it take to turn the screen?
Very little. I mean, just the slightest lift of the phone turns the screen on.
Thank you, courts and buildings. Please answer any questions from the state. I have no further questions.
All right, thank you.
And before
don't forget your phone.
Conrad, please report. Mr. Sturgis, how are you doing today?
Good afternoon, Mr. Conrad. I'm well, thank you.
I believe at the beginning of your testimony, you testified that you felt likely there was some location data stored on Maggie's phone from June 7th that potentially was overwritten. Did I understand that correctly?
I said that there was data that was on the phone from June 8th and that, correction, June 9th, and that data likely could have been on there had it been preserved properly.
And explain to the jury just real quick, how does an iPhone store that GPS information? In generic terms, and then if I need to get more specific, I will.
Sure. So the iPhone keeps that data, and it uses the GPS location. The GPS satellite triangulates with the GPS satellites, and it stores that data.
All right. And does it store it in a sort of cache?
It does.
All right.
It is a cache.
And when it comes to iOS, as opposed to, say, a standard hard drive, iOS keeps certain databases caches fairly limited, correct? And
that's
doesn't
correct.
Allow them to access the entire memory available on a device at any given point, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And do you know, or at least in your training or your investigation, have you been able to determine just how big a typical cache is, at least would have been for Maggie's phone during this time?
No, I didn't research that.
Okay.
No, I didn't research that, no.
Okay, so you don't know how long Maggie's phone would have potentially stored GPS information at this during 2021, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
No.
All right. And just so I understand correctly, you agree that a iPhone will not record an orientation change if the screen is off, correct?
That's correct. Yes.
All right. So I believe Mr. Barber handed you his phone to kind of demonstrate this lift-to-weight thing, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And do you know what model iPhone Mr. Barber has? Did you look at it?
I don't know exactly which iPhone he has.
Okay. And do you know what version of iOS is on Mr. Barber's phone?
I do not know.
And Apple updates its iOS fairly frequently, correct?
They do, yes.
Do you know, at least, we don't know what's on Mr. Barber's phone, but do you know what the current release version is today?
It's 16 point something.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know in your review of Maggie's phone, what version was on Maggie's phone on June 7th of 2021?
I believe that was 14 point something.
I'm sorry.
I think it was 14.6, if I'm not mistaken. It was somewhere in the 14 range.
Are you aware that in some of these iOS updates, some of these sensitivities and some of these settings can change, correct?
Depending on bug fixes and things, yes.
And are you aware of a change that occurred in iOS 15 that changed how iPhones record orientation changes or when they record orientation changes?
No, I'm not aware of that.
Okay. Can we go back to the PowerPoint? What exhibit was that? I believe it was it 155? Were there two? I just was aware of one. You 158? For this witness. This doesn't have slide number, so bear with me. But first of all, before we talk about Maggie real quick, you did review Paul's phone to a certain degree, correct?
To a certain extent, yes.
All right. And do you recall from your review of Paul's phone when the last time his phone was unlocked on June 7th of 2021?
I don't recall, no. I'm sorry.
And we can find the state's exhibit if we need to, but would you disagree if I told you it was 8:49 p.m. or shortly thereafter?
If that's what's in the state's exhibit, I don't disagree with that.
Okay. And I believe one of your first slides here is that Maggie's phone locked. Let's see. Go to 1, 2, 3 slides. One more. All right, back one, I'm sorry. 8:49:31, and in your review of Maggie's phone, found that her phone was locked at 8:49:31, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And it was not unlocked until when, the next day?
The next day, that's correct.
All right, and that's when it was recovered by law enforcement?
By law enforcement, yes, sir.
Okay. And did you review Alex's, you said you reviewed Alex's phone to a certain degree too. I think you said the steps, right?
The steps, yes.
And in your review, did you find any steps on his phone between 8:09 and 9:02 p.m.?
Let me go back and take a look at that.
Correct.
No, I don't recall seeing that. I'm seeing the stuff in the knowledge seat here.
Okay. All right. But Maggie's phone's locked at 8:49:31, and it does not unlock till the next day, correct?
That's correct, yes, sir.
Paul's locks for the last time around the same time, correct?
That's correct, yes, sir.
And Paul's phone, in your review, do you recall what time the battery died on his phone?
I don't recall, no, sir.
Would you dispute me if I said, and we can find the exhibit if we need to, his phone shut down at about 10:34 p.m.?
If that's what's in the report, I don't dispute it, no, sir.
All right. And would you agree with me if I said that Paul's phone locking at 8:49 and remaining on until 10:34, first of all, that's about, what, an hour and a half or so?
That's correct, yes.
And do you know his battery state when his phone locked at 8:49 p.m.?
It was in low power mode.
So it was less than 10%, 2%, something like that?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. And would you agree with me when the fact that his phone remained on until 10:34 would be indicative that it wasn't really handled at all, much at all or used at all?
Yes.
Okay. And did you find any other evidence of any usage on Paul's phone after 8:49 that you can recall?
No, I didn't.
Okay. And when I say use, just so it's clear between us, I mean either answering a call, making a call, reading a text, sending a text, orientation change.
And no user interaction with it.
All right. And so let's talk a little bit about the orientation change for a minute. So would you agree that the most likely reason for an orientation change is human interaction, meaning a human's using the phone?
Yes.
All right. Are there any other possible explanations when you see an orientation change, or any other explanations that you, in your opinion, that could explain an orientation change?
Only if a phone, you know, was in one position, lit up, fell off, and landed in another position.
Okay.
But no.
And when you see a series of orientation changes, 30 seconds or a minute between each orientation change, it'd be difficult to explain that by a phone just kept falling on its own, correct?
Repeat the question, I'm sorry.
If you see a series of three orientation changes, just speaking hypothetically for a moment, if you see a series of three orientation changes, say 30 seconds separate them or thereabouts, or a minute separate them, could you explain that? Would it be very likely that a series of falls caused those orientation changes?
It depends on how many falls it was making, but being jostled around in a pocket and the light on, being turned, if it's in a person's hand and being turned back and forth, then that would be the only thing I could indicate with an orientation change.
Okay. All right. Can we pull that slideshow back up, please? Let's see. All right, let's go forward. 1, 2. Okay. 8:53:15. There you go. And this is when Maggie's phone starts showing some steps, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And you would agree that the most likely explanation for this is the phone is moving in some manner, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And those accelerometers are recording, or the bounces are jostling, that would most likely be explained by Stubbs, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Now, you can't tell us who's carrying that phone at this time, can you?
No.
All right, next slide. All right, and so at this 853.20, you say there's some Siri usage and a squeezing of the side button. And let's just, is that the only explanation of why you'd see the Siri pop up on a phone is the squeezing the side button, or are there other possibilities?
There's another possibility of her saying, you know, hey Siri, and then that happens because it's a Siri user interface.
Okay, so there could be another explanation, but it's most likely someone squeezing the side button saying,
could be the
hey,
side
Siri.
Button saying, hey Siri, but it's a user interface with it.
Okay. All right. Go to eight. Next slide, please. Actually, let's go to 854.34, please. Should be one more. There we go. All right, and here you say the camera gets activated, correct?
That's correct.
And you think the most likely explanation is somebody swiped the camera symbol on a locked phone, correct?
Right, either swipe the camera or touch the bottom button because it's coming from the springboard lock screen.
Okay, we say bottom button. Which button?
If you're looking at an iPhone and my most recent iOS, I think it's 16 point something, in the bottom right corner, there's a button that you can touch and hold and the camera comes on. But when that happens, it comes over from the left and the camera scrolls over.
Okay. And then next slide. And then 854.35. This is 1 second later the camera use ends, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And so, in your opinion, based off the fact that was used for a total of 1 second, do you think that was someone intending to actually use the camera and take a picture?
I wouldn't know, but I wouldn't think so. I mean, that's just a...
But the camera's only open for a second, correct?
Right. They couldn't have taken a picture in a second.
All right. All right. 855.32. Okay. And we see the orientation change here at 855.32. Next slide. And the backlight goes off at 855.36, correct?
That's correct, yes, sir.
We'll go to the next slide. And the backlight's back on 903.52. So that's roughly, how long? Is that, 8 minutes? I don't know if I'm gonna make you do math, but.
about that, yes.
And so the screen's off for that 8 minutes, correct?
That's correct.
And so would you agree with me, it does seem likely someone's handling that phone Maggie's phone between 853 and 855, correct?
Yes.
All right, we see orientation changes, we see the potential button being pushed. Someone's got that phone in their hand, correct?
That's correct.
You can't tell us who, correct?
No, I can't.
All right. And then at 855.32, we see kind of an 8 minute gap in activity, correct? Between 855 and 903, correct?
Yes.
Almost as if somebody put that phone down.
Yes, that's a possibility.
Whoever had it, correct?
Correct.
And you can't tell us where they put that phone down, right?
No, sir, I can't.
Could they put it in a vehicle?
That's very possible. I don't know.
A golf cart?
I don't know.
Okay, let's go to 904.23. Yep. All right. And we see this incoming call from Alex. You said the screen turns off almost immediately, correct?
That's correct, yes.
In your opinion, you think somebody actually hit the button to turn
the screen
off, correct?
Somebody shut the screen
off,
yes.
Okay. But the screen comes back on in 905.44, if we can go to that slide, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then 906.12, we see an orientation change, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And 2 seconds later, we see next slide, please. What is this?
That's an incoming call from Alex.
Okay. 2 seconds after the orientation change starts, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Okay. And then go to 907. Okay. And the screen goes off at 907, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And stays off for, what, roughly 23 minutes?
Yes.
And you just testified with Mr. Barber that Alex's car was sitting just outside his house, correct?
That's according to the documents that I reviewed.
And and I don't know if you have this information in front of you, but did you determine when that GPS data shows his vehicle start to move?
Yes, it...
After 907.
Oh, after 907?
Well, first of all, is his vehicle stationary at 907?
No, it's in the driveway at 907, but it's at starts at the house at 906 and 52 seconds p.m.
When do you start to see motion? Or do you
906 and 52 seconds is where I start to see the motion there.
Okay. And 8 seconds later is when Maggie's screen turns off?
Yes.
For 23 minutes?
Yes.
And you agree that a phone, iPhone, at least with version 14.6, when the screen's off, it will not record an orientation change, correct?
That's correct.
And you agree with me that you don't know what version of iOS that Mr. Barber had on his phone that you just did some demonstration.
That's correct.
Did you conduct any tests with the phone with 14.6 to see what movement can cause it to, or what can cause that phone to the screen to come on?
I don't have any 14.6 phones.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad.
Hey, Mr. Sturgis, you were asked about iOS version 15 and a change in orientation behavior. Is the raise to wake feature something distinct from orientation behavior?
No, the raised awake is a separate from orientation behavior. Raised awake is a separate application within.
Is raised awake the feature that causes the phone to come on with slight movement?
Yes.
Do you have any reason to believe that the raised awake feature that you've already testified was active on Maggie Murdoch's phone works any different than any iPhone today?
I have no evidence to prove that, no.
And again, you can refer to your notes. When Alec Murdoch's SUV passed the location where Maggie Murdoch's phone was recovered, the side of the road, was the screen off?
The screen was off, yes.
It was off as he approached it?
Yes.
And again, how much movement does it take to turn the screen on?
Very little movement.
And this is a separate issue from orientation changes?
That's correct.
But we're talking about, are we talking about movement activating the screen?
That's correct, yes.
Are we talking about the screen being sideways or up?
No, we're not talking about the orientation. We're talking about the actual raised awake function on the phone.
The camera usage, and in fact, no picture was taken that you're aware of.
Right, that's correct. I didn't see any photographs there for that time.
But is it your opinion? What is your opinion about whether someone deliberately activated that camera?
I mean, they could have. It could have been an accident. I don't know. I don't know what the person could have been doing, but it was a user interaction with the device.
And there was talk about phones falling to change orientation. Can a phone change orientation without actually falling?
No, I mean, there has to be some type of movement for the phone from portrait to landscape.
Right, but you don't have to drop the phone?
No.
So
if it's sitting upright, I mean, if it's sitting on its side, I can flip it this way and the orientation changes.
If somebody's running with a phone, can it change orientation?
Yes. Those are user events that can cause that.
Can we pull up what's been previously admitted as Defense Exhibit 45? This is, as I just said, previously admitted. Do you recognize this as GPS data in a cache database?
This looks like a yes, cache for the ZRT cell location database. Yes.
And what's the timestamp for the first entry?
It's 6/9/21 at 2:51:21 p.m.
In your opinion, would it be fair to say that if this phone had been extracted or put in a Faraday bag a couple of days earlier, we would have GPS data from 6/7?
In my opinion, it's likely that we could.
Can we pull up the step data exhibit?
Sorry?
The Apple step data exhibit. Okay, we previously talked about this, Alec Murdaugh's steps. Between entries 27 and 28, you see those time periods? Just want to remember that and go to the next page. Here we have Maggie's steps. Are there any steps, periods of steps that correspond between Maggie Murdaugh and Alec Murdaugh?
No, I don't see any.
So there's no period where both phones are stepping in the same period?
No.
Okay. And if we stay on this one, if we look at entries 5 and 6, the distance is almost identical, 31 meters.
Yes, it is.
Are the steps different?
The steps are different.
Is that a significant difference?
Not a significant difference for the 5 and 6, no.
So 59 versus 43, so is that 16? It took 16 more steps to go the same distance?
Yes.
So does that indicate shorter steps?
Shorter steps, yes.
Just the final question is to emphasize here. You can't tell us what a phone would do tossed out a window. That's not your expertise.
No, I can't.
But you can tell us how much motion it takes to turn on the screen.
Yes, very little motion.
And you've demonstrated that.
Several times, yes.
And that feature of the iPhone was active on her phone.
Yes.
And it is totally separate from orientation behavior.
That's correct, it is.
No further questions.
Anything further?
Just a couple things, Your Honor. You said you reviewed Paul's phone. Did you review the video that's been called the Kindle video in this case?
Yes, I have seen the video.
And did you have any information that would lead you to disagree that that video was recorded at 8:44, about 55 seconds on the night of June 7th?
No, I don't have anything.
And the location data, would you agree the location data for that video was recorded at the kennels on the Murdaugh property of Moselle?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Ms. Barber was talking to you about steps data. Just so it's clear to the jury, and I'm going to speak in hypotheticals here for a second, but if you see the iPhone records steps over an interval of about 5 minutes, for example. It records a certain number of steps over that 5 minutes. Okay. Does that mean, is that phone trying to tell you that someone's uniformly walking at an exact pace that keeps them moving over that entire 5 minutes?
No, not necessarily.
Okay. They could stop at some point in the middle of that, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Right. And so they could stop and pick something up in the middle of a period showing steps, correct?
That's correct. It's just the steps between those two times.
All right. So you can't testify, you can't tell us if between, pull up the steps exhibit real quick. Next slide. All right. And looking at entry 28 on Alex's phone,
Entry what, I'm sorry?
28.
28?
Yep. Okay. And between 902 and 906, we see, what, 283 steps? Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
All right. And you can't tell us if his phone stopped at any point between those.
No.
What's
no,
that, roughly just, 4 minutes or a little over 4 minutes?
No, just 283 steps between those two times.
So he could have walked 200 of those steps in the first 2 minutes and then only walked, slowed down for the rest of the
right.
2 minutes, correct? Or it could have been vice versa.
Yes.
Or he could have stopped for an entire minute somewhere in there. You can't tell us any different, correct?
It'd be unlikely to stop for an entire minute. I think if you stop for that long a period of time, a new entry would be made. But
do you know, is there a cutoff for iOS
no,
that
I,
would?
I think that just based off of what I'm seeing here, I mean, for instance, entry 29 and 30, you have about a 3 minute gap there. Mm-hmm. And
okay.
Yeah.
So maybe if he stopped for a minute, it would have started a new entry?
It could have. It,
right.
it
but
could
if
have.
He had stopped for a shorter period of time, you wouldn't necessarily have, correct?
Right.
Okay. All right. And finally, Mr. Barber has asked you about distance, and I think I want to make sure I understood you correctly. I think you testified that you would consider the actual steps count to be more accurate than the distance. Is that correct?
I would, yes.
Have you found any research or studies that has measured or the accuracy of steps or distance in iOS devices?
I have, yeah. And for instance, I've had cases where the step count and the GPS data is different sometimes.
Okay. Yes. And in your opinion, the steps count is probably more the most accurate?
In my opinion, yeah, the steps okay. count is more accurate.
Okay.
You may step down. And ladies and gentlemen, that is it for today. We resume at 9:30 tomorrow. Please do not discuss the case.
That wraps up segment number 5 in our continuing coverage of the trial of Alec Murtaugh. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of the updates on this case as we bring them to you. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits.
McDonald's breakfast comes first.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're hearing from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast.
comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.